You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. It's Tim Talks. It's Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week, and many of you are studying for either tonight or coming up Sunday. Brother Wolven, let me ask you this before I give you the world-famous story of Al Stone in homiletics class. When did you start studying for Wednesday's message, usually?
When do I normally?
When do you? Yes.
Well, it's different because now I'm online on Wednesday, so I have to record by Tuesday at the latest. As we're recording right now, it's on a Saturday, and I am going to be gone for the week, so I'll be preaching after we're done recording and recording that, and then have a little bit of a few days to be able to polish it up, you know, the video itself before I post it. For Wednesday. So normally, if I was not having to go in earlier, it'd probably be by Friday or Saturday. I knew where I was going, and then by Monday you jump into it. And and you know, Monday, Tuesday, Monday was my day off normally, but still, you know, you wind up studying even on your day offs, and you know, you grab an hour or two. You're up early. I'm up early in the morning, so yeah. By Friday or Saturday, I have an idea where I'm headed, and by Monday, Tuesday, I'm jumping into it.
When do you start your study for Sunday?
Monday for sure. To start being read, you know, to start working into it. But Thursday is my big work day. You know, if I can knock off an AM or PM by Thursday and then have Friday to just sort of do little extras, by Thursday I'm usually giving my sermon titles to Brother Steve so he can put it in the bulletin.
Yeah. I would do similar. I would start Monday for Wednesday, and then Sunday, I would start Wednesday. As I finished up my Wednesday, I would start, you know, preliminary study for Sunday, and I would have everything done by usually Friday so that I could have Saturday free for visitation and other things like that. So just to give you the heads up. So let me take you back to college. And I was in class with Phil Clayton. And there was only about six or eight of us. It was a smaller college. I went to college here in Canada at Baptist Bible College Canada, which was in my home church. We had about 80 students, 100 students, I think, in our biggest year. And so I'm in class with six or eight senior guys, and I'm learning how to preach. I'd never had any instruction. My dad wasn't a preacher. All I had was a preacher who preached every Sunday, and, you know, I tried to get it from that. So they said, okay.
Yeah, you never practiced it yourself.
No. I had no idea
what
I was
doing. Phil Clayton preaches first sermon in junior high.
Yeah. And his dad's, you know, teaching him and helping him, and he's, you know, hanging around all these big shot preachers, and here I am.
Well, it isn't just that, but he was out with his dad, and as they'd travel, as often as his dad would preach, in the tent, they did the stuff for the kids.
Right.
And so he wound up getting probably 4 to 6 years of preaching, I bet probably 100 times a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, in one manner or another.
Yeah.
So.
And I gave a devotional when I was 16. So, I mean, I didn't have much. So they bring us in, and we've got six or eight preachers sitting there, and they're going to critique us as we preach. And so we'd preach, and every week I had a pastor who'd say, "Brother Stone, your message, your outline does not match your text. Your outline does not match your text." I had no idea what he was talking about. No idea. So I'd say, okay. So I'd go back and I'd try to figure it out, and I'd come back the next week, he'd stand up again. Brother Stone, you're not getting this. Your text does not match the passage.
Scripture. So you preach,
yeah,
and you're standing there in the pulpit,
yeah,
and each one of these pastors,
yep,
are critiquing your sermon while you're standing there in, yes, front of everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, five out of the six guys or six out of the seven guys would say something, you know, critical, but not too harsh. This guy just got harsh. And finally, after 4 or 5 weeks, he said, I don't know what we're going to do, Brother Stone. You've got to get this. You've got to get some help. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I'm going to Phil, and I'm like, Phil, what do I do? And he's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. So finally, they assigned a topic. And I got a book by Charles Spurgeon, and I copied word for word Charles Haddon Spurgeon's message on that topic. I used his outline. I used his reference. I used his cross reference. I used his illustrations. I get up and preach, and I thought, I got it.
You just took out the these and thous.
Yeah, I got this. That preacher got up and said, Brother Stone, I am dumbfounded. I've said this now for 5 or 6 weeks. You still have not got the concept. I said, well, sir, you're going to have to take that up with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I copied it word for word from his book. Oh, my word. Dr. Harry Strachan, my pastor, stands up, takes his glasses off and says, sit down. And I went and sat down, and Phil Clayton leaned over and said, you're getting kicked out today. Oh, my word. I got chewed out, man. Chewed out. And so we leave the class, and I walk out, and in the hall is my pastor standing there. And I thought, here we go. I'm done. And he said, don't ever do that again. I said, yes, sir. He said, but you really did get him. I just want to say that pastor had to leave the ministry, and I'm still in. And I'd like to say that Phil Clayton won the Preacher Boys contest at our school, but my church was bigger than his. So there you go. So even though you're in last, you can finish in the top. Oh, man.
Well, thank you for helping us understand the ministry is all about competition.
Competition. Yeah, that's right. It is in college. Oh, my goodness. So there's your story of the week. All right, let's get to the subject now. Commentaries. Give me some commentaries that have been a help to you.
Well, I already gave you all my commentaries.
Well, so give me some other books.
Go ahead and give yours if you want.
Okay. I use pretty exclusively three guys. I use Adam Clark. I use John Gill. And then the other one I use is Albert Barnes. Adam Clark, Albert Barnes, and John Gill. Love those guys. Presbyterian and Methodist, but man, they had a grip on the Word of God. I will use other ones as well, not quite so frequently, but those are the go-to guys that I use. They give clear understanding to me. They have great in-depth, great insight, and they have great cross-reference. So those are a help to me for sure. I'd recommend those guys.
Anything by Phillips, I really enjoy.
Yes, Phillips is good.
I like reading most guys from the 1600s to 1800s.
Yes.
If you can get the Puritans and, you know, like you said, there's going to be a lot of Presbyterians, a lot of Methodists, Baptists even of, yep, all, you know, stripes and denominations, even some Anglican people in the 1600s to 1800s.
Yeah.
You know, they did have a great knowledge and way to express about some of the doctrines, you know, obviously not something that's Baptist you sort of stay away from.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are, you know, that's always something good to go for. That's for sure.
Of course, anything written by Spurgeon, you can't lose, you know, any of his Treasury of David, of his devotionals.
Oh, yes.
Everything he wrote was just phenomenal.
I've read most of what he's written.
Yeah.
And there's still a couple of series that I'd like to get. I mean, I just love that guy. That's my favorite read.
Yeah.
And, of course, Lectures to My Students.
Yes.
That is classic.
Yep.
That's
classic.
That's fundamental to put in there. It's amazing how practical, mm-hmm, he was. You know, the word, it's such a wordsmith. And yet still so practical. It is awesome.
Yeah.
I decorated my office from a quote of his. So.
Yeah. I will tell you that I've heard a lot of other denominational preachers quote Charles Spurgeon. They all use them. You just can't beat it. And
what a wordsmith.
Yeah. I also love, and we'll bring this up a little bit later on, but let me say, one of the things I do love to read is autobiographies. And I read a great biography and autobiographies. I read a great biography on Spurgeon. Great biography. And yes. I don't have the title or the author with me, but it was awesome. Awesome, awesome. What else have you got?
Well, there's books on there's a lot of books now on the King James issue.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't very many whenever I was in Bible college and then soon after. One book that's relatively, stood the test of time is God Wrote Only One Bible,
mm-hmm.
By Hills. There's a newer book, One Book Stands Alone, that's really good. I am not a Gail Riplinger fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not trying to, everyone knows something that I don't know, hence all men are my teachers. So, but I'm not a big Gail Riplinger fan. But, if I wrote a book, I'd probably only believe 90% of it. So, but there's still good resources. Now,
yeah.
There weren't very many whenever I was younger. And so I read a couple of the core books that Ruckman had written, because he was mm-hmm. one of the most prolific writers when I was younger about the topic. But I have since, I've removed them from my library. I have them available if I ever need to go to them, but I don't think I do. But, the foundation and premise is pretty sound. If you can take the caustic, stuff with it. Those kind of things helped me because I had questions. And, of course, it was becoming more predominant. And I wanted to know some of the facts. So,
Gail Riplinger was a help to me. Again, not everything she wrote was probably everything we'd want it to be, but she did have some great resource and some great
yeah.
thought-provoking things, and did
yes.
a great job of comparing those newer translations to the King James and some of the errors with them or some of the things that were missing in them. And so I did appreciate that. One of the books that I enjoyed was Dr. Mickey Carter's Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. That's mm-hmm. that's a good one as well on the study of the
yes,
King James.
Yes, it is. That's a great resource.
I believe that's still available as well. He's from Haines City, Florida. Great, great study there as well.
If I can sort of throw in, Clarence Sexton has a book list mm-hmm. online, Dr. Clarence Sexton at Faith for the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a tremendous resource. I go to that a lot. Whenever I'm going to preach on, let's say, the book of First Peter or the book of James, I'll go to his book list and try to order all of those old books that he's got listed because he is a phenomenal resource. I really like that a lot.
I'll tell you who is a great resource for books is Scott Pauley. Brother Pauley is a prolific reader. And always, when I'm with him, we'll say, Brother Stone, have you read? I need to get you that book. You need to read this book. He's an awesome resource. And any book that he's ever recommended that I've read has been a great read for me. So he's a guy that you could contact as well. I don't know if he has anything online, but I'm sure you could contact him. And if you had a subject, he could help you with that for sure.
Along this line, something that maybe you can go overboard with, but I think we as an independent Baptist don't really embrace as well, is counseling.
Yeah.
And Jay Adams has a great series on counseling. I like reading anything from Jay Adams. I mean, he really has a phenomenal repertoire of books and study courses and things. And of course, like anything, I got to tell you this story from me in college. They're given book lists and you're doing outside reading. And so, man, everything I read, I tried to do 100%. And so, read this book about giving up sugar and stuff. So I gave up sugar. I'm not going to eat anything with sugar or anything, any sugar in anything. And of course, that lasted like a month and a half. You can wind up reading a book and saying, wow, that guy is smarter than me. I'm going to do everything that he says. And that's an unwise, situation. I remember sitting in chapel. And the president of the college said, he gets up every morning at 5 o'clock and reads his Bible and prays about an hour. And then the dean of the college, when he was speaking, said he reads about an hour and a half every night from like 11 to 12:30.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, good grief, and you wind up killing yourself. But then you find out the dean of the college, he gets up late. Later,
yeah.
Showers, shaves, and runs to school.
Yeah.
And the president of the college goes to bed at 9 p.m.
Right.
Here I am as a Bible college student working full time, getting home from work at 12:31 in the morning, and I've got 7 o'clock classes, and I'm trying to get up earlier and, read and pray and stay up late and read and write without understanding. Look, you got to find what works for yourself. The main thing is be dedicated to God. So be careful that you don't go to seed with everything that you read.
Yeah. So. Dr. John Getch requires about 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. That's all he usually gets. And there are not many people like that. That's not me. I need 7 hours. If I can get 8 hours, that's a help to me. If I try to go on 3 or 4 hours of sleep, I could do it, but I could not function properly. He's an unusual man, and there are not many people like that. So, yeah. I've gotten some books, and this, I guess, would class as a counseling book. Somebody gave me an audiobook, and I've really come to appreciate audiobooks because you can listen to it while you drive. I do wood carving, so I'm out in the wood carving shop last night, and I'm listening online to these audiobooks. And so I got an audiobook from a preacher friend of mine, and it's kind of unusual. But it's called Messy Grace, and the author's name is Caleb Kaltenbach. Caleb Kaltenbach was a young man whose mother was a lesbian, and in time found out that his dad was a homosexual, and he became a preacher. And he tells a story of life growing up in that community and what Christianity looked like from his vantage point. Now, he's not an independent Baptist, and not everything he says I agree with, but it was very thought-provoking. He said, here I am, a little kid. My mother started taking me to, the theater, parties, having parties with all of these lesbian, homosexual people. He said, we would, be involved in things, and people would be outside picketing. And they would be screaming things and yelling things and holding up signs. He said, as a kid, it really troubled me. He said, I didn't understand a lot of things. And so he just kind of gives that viewpoint. And it really caused me to do some thinking about how we need to reach that community and how we might be more effective in reaching that community. We still hate the sin. We still preach against it. And he did. He said, I remember the Sunday I got up to preach. He said, I was going through a series. And on the Sunday I was going to preach about homosexuality and the transgender movement. He said, my mom and dad were both sitting in the auditorium. He said, I knew somebody was going to go home mad that day. And so I appreciated that stand. And that's something that has definitely got me doing some thinking. So it's called Messy Grace.
Well, I've got a ton of books that you could sort of say, I don't know, not necessarily leisure, but they don't really fit in a super spiritual category if we want to go over them another day.
Yeah, let's do that on Friday. Our time has slipped away from us today. Let's do that on Friday. I've got some as well. I've got some podcasts, and I've got a video series that I'd like to recommend as well. So we can do that on Friday. I've you know, maybe I'll mention as well some marriage counseling books that would be
a
help.
Yeah, I've got quite a few of those.
Yeah, I think we can do that on Friday as well. We might be a little bit longer on Friday, but we can do that. So for today, for this Wednesday, I hope that's a great resource for you. I hope that's thought-provoking for you. Again, if you're not a great reader, for me, audiobooks, I'm a video guy. I love seeing it move. I love pictures. I respond better that way. So audiobooks, great help to me. I still read. I still open the book. I only like to read the Bible in a Bible. I don't like to read it off my phone. I don't necessarily like to read it off the computer. I like to read it from the Bible. That's just kind of, I like to hold the book. That's a little bit different. But there are some things that might help you and be helpful to you today as you're coming up as a young person, as you're getting into the ministry, as you're studying the Bible on your own as a church member. Those things can be a help to you. I'm Al Stone at St. Amen. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. Brother Wolven, give us some parting wisdom, and we'll be on our way.
Readers are leaders. I just noticed an article just about a week and a half ago, although I'm not fans of these people, but Bill Gates reads one book a week, and Mark Zuckerberg had made a New Year's resolution that he was going to read a book every other week. So important people, they still see the need of reading. Warren Buffett tells everybody they need to keep reading and reading and reading, keep their ideas fresh. And so we as believers can take the same lesson about especially about the things of the Lord.
And don't forget Archie Comics. Those will really help you in your Christian life. Archie, Superman, they'll help you. This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great day. We'll see you on Friday.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.